morning. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. Let's all stand together.
The cross before me, the world behind, turning back, raise a banner high. It's not for me, it's all for you. Let the heavens shake, split the sky. Let the people clap their hands and cry. It's not for me, it's all for you. Not to us, to your name be the glory. Not to us, to your name be the glory. Hearts unfold before your throne, the only place those who know. It's not for me, it's all for you. Send your holy fire on this offering, let a worship burn for the world to see. It's not for me, it's all for you. Us, to your name be the glory. Not to us, to your name be the glory. The earth is shaking, the mountains shouting, it's all for you. The waves are crashing, the sun is raging, it's all for you. And singing, it's all for you. You children dancing, dancing, dancing. It's all for you, it's all for you. My all for you. Our glory, honor, praise. Praise, I glory and honor and praise. 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 Not to us, to your name. Not to us, to your name.
Amen, amen. Think you may be seated. We're really glad you're with us this morning. Every Sunday we come together at 10 o'clock from all over our city and the surrounding cities, and we come together to worship God. We don't come here to show off to anyone. But just because we recognize as a congregation, as a group of people, that we need God in our life. I need God in my life to be the right kind of dad, the right kind of father, the right kind of husband. And that's why we're here this morning. So we're going to lift up our praise to God. Let's continue as we stand together. We're going to sing, Blessed Be Your Name. And we're going to go ahead and do the first verse and chorus. Then I want to give everyone a chance to get around and shake everyone's hand this morning.
Blessed be your name, the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, when I'm found in a desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Let's get around and welcome each other this morning.
Blessed be your name, the sun shining down on me, the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
This song is called God of the Ages, and it says, He is the image of the invisible God. It comes right out of Romans chapter 1. And the chorus says, we bless you, Lord, God of the ages. Highest of all, we magnify you. Your name will be exalted, exalted.
Born of creation, He is the first, the last, the one who matters most. He is creator, ruling sustainer of all, for He holds it all together. He is the Word of God, the hope for all the world. His name is lifted higher. Jesus, your name is lifted higher. God of the ages. exalted, exalted. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. He is the first, the last, the one who matters most. He is creator, ruling sustainer of all, for he holds it all together. He is the Word of God, the hope for all the world. His name is named in higher. Jesus, your name is named in higher. We bless you, Lord, God of ages, highest of all. We magnify you. Your name will be exalted, exalted.
With us, that we would sing our praise to you, not just with our lips, but also with our heart, God. We pray this morning as we prepare to hear your message that you've given to Pastor Joe, that you've prepared for us all week, and as you've spoken to Pastor Joe, Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirit to hear from you. Lord, I pray that as we sing this next song, that we would confess our need for you. You are the saving one. That we would just let go of all the stuff, all the things that may have gone on this week that distracted us from you. That we would confess any sin that would hinder us from hearing you. That we would resolve in our hearts to correct relationships that need fix. Yes. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would move in a special way. Yes. Over this next song, Lord. That as we sing to you, that you would hear our hearts and you would know, and that you would meet with us this morning and give us a powerful message. In Jesus' name.
Lift your voice and heaven and earth give praise. Fall to your knees at the feet of the Son of the one true God. Turn from old ways, lift your eyes, for the kingdom of God is here. Open your hearts, offer all, Jesus Christ is here. Now we have found our hope, we have found our peace, we have found our rest. Hear the one who loves, he will light the way, he will lead us home as we offer all to the one who saves us. Call on the name that is hope, Jesus, the Son of God. Lord over all, he is good, and his mercy endures always. We have found our hope, we have found our peace, we have found found our peace, we have found our us whole as we offer all to the one who saves us all. Forever His love endures, forever His love endures, forever and ever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever and ever.
Please remain standing for the reading of God's word.
In your Bibles this morning to Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is one of the early prophecies of Jesus Christ, of His kingship and His kingdom. And His love endures forever. I'll read the odd-numbered verses, and please help me on the even-numbered verses. Psalm number 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and with rejoicing and trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way. When His wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. And Father God, we do put our trust in You. We put our trust in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that You are one with Him. Lord, and we thank You for that. We thank You for Your word that guides us. That we thank You for these psalms, Lord, that's a medicine to our heart, Lord, that allows us to trust in You and trust Your Son. Lord, we just give You all the glory, and we thank You for allowing us to be a part of Your family. Lord, as children of any family, we are needy, Lord. We need guidance from You. We need healing from You. We need answered prayers from You, Lord. So we bring our petitions to You this morning, Lord, because only You can heal them. Only You can answer them. Only You can be the one to make things right. Lord, we ask that You would work in the hearts of those that we know, Lord, our unsaved loved ones that don't know You yet, Lord. We ask You to bring them into this family, into our family, into Your family, Lord, that they might share eternity with us and with You. Lord, we also ask for good missions conference this year, Lord, with the Johnson family coming in, Lord, with our hearts, Lord, just work on our hearts and allow us to be more mission-minded as a result of this mission conference, Lord. And we put all the details of this conference in Your hands, Lord, so that it can turn out according to Your will. Lord, for a young man named Josh Macon that is a Virginia Beach police officer,
that got hit by a vehicle. He got hit by a vehicle while he was on duty, Lord. We just ask you to heal that young man. Take the swelling from his brain down. Lord, give him a knowledge that you are in charge of his care. And Lord, for the Markley family, a couple situations in their family. Mary Taylor has twisted her ankle, Lord, and had to go to the emergency room. And Lord, we trust in you for that healing also. And for Nancy Markley, that is in the final stages of COPD, Lord, we ask you to comfort her. Give the family comfort and assurance that she's in your hands and she will soon be with your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, for the Bowman family that just lost, Bill just lost his brother, his brother Leon, that just died, Lord. We ask the comfort in that family also and just give them the blessing as a result of this. Let some of their unsaved family members come to know your son, Jesus Christ, as a result. Lord, for Pam Park, a 52-year-old lady that they found a grapefruit-sized tumor on her ovary and is believed to be cancerous. Lord, we trust in you, Lord. She's going to have more tests on Monday, Lord, and we trust that you can, that your will is going to be done in this, that you can take care of that tumor and have it removed, even though it is cancerous. Maybe just shrink it away so that it's not even there, Lord. We know you can do that.
Yes.
And Lord, for Robin Brooks, that's Susie Williams' sister, she's having tests on Tuesday, Lord, for problems in her abdomen area, Lord, that we also trust that we know that you know what's going on there already, Lord, and we ask you to give her a good result from all the tests and give her a good result from all the treatments that might happen to her, Lord, but we ask you as healer to heal her. Lord, we also ask that we just change our hearts as we hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
All right. Man, you guys came to worship this morning, amen?
Amen.
All right, that's why I like it. All right. Pastor Ron, here's your, whoops. All right, well, I do have a couple of announcements before I begin the message. We have, I just really want to thank Paul and Sue and Z and Brian and Allison and Steve and Patty and everybody that helped out the yard sale. That was a great job. Thank you very much for doing that. That's $460 closer to the goal, and I really appreciate that. And to all of you who donated to it, so I really appreciate it. Bringing your junk here, and we got rid of it though, amen? All right. Also, nice announcement that my wife just told me about. Charlie and Pam Everly are pregnant. Congratulations, guys. You're adding to the already overpopulated classrooms. Amen. You know what? That's great. Amen. All right, also, Billy and Nathan, they're going back to school, so man, we're going to miss you guys. Where's Billy? I just saw him. Where is he? Oh, there he is. He's going back to school, and then the other ones are going to follow him. They're going back up next week, so we're really going to miss him. Thank you so very much, you guys, for helping out in the music ministry. Really appreciate you. Both of you guys really did a great job, and now we're going to be without a drummer unless, you know what we do? We pray that Nathan Trimbath gets another job because he's working on Sundays, and that's why he can't be here. And some of you are not going to pray for that because you don't like the drums. But I'm going to pray for it. And if nothing else, I'll drum. So you may see me up there next week. All right. Practice with the band. And also the summer food program was over last week, and it was awesome. We had about 70 kids here during the course of the summer food program. And I'll tell you what, and most of them are staying here during Sunday morning and Wednesdays, and they're growing, and we love them. And it is, we are so blessed to have them. I mean, we really are. You know, I praise God every day for those kids, and I hope you're with me and you pray for them, okay? We need to pray for all our kids. And last Wednesday, we had 70 kids here. So we need some help in the children's ministry, so make sure we're going to have 71 here pretty soon. So, awesome. But I do want to thank Patty, Judy, Renee, Jonelle, Andrea, Pastor Ron, who just took that, and also Darlene. How can I forget Darlene, my co-bus driver, you know, for helping out with that and picking up the kids. So I really appreciate all that you do. So when you get when you see them, get around, thank them for that. Okay. All right. Well, today we're going to start a new series, and there's a sign up. Hopefully, my daughter put a sign up sheet for a book. That you can order. We're going to use it on the small groups on Wednesdays, and it's called "Lord, Change My Attitude Before It's Too Late," and it's by James McDonald. And we're going to be doing kind of a series on Sunday morning, kind of reflecting what he says and what the Lord says in His Word about our attitudes. Our attitudes. Everybody has an attitude, right? Some of them have bad attitudes, right? Some of you have great attitudes. Some of you have attitudes that are so sicky sweet that it makes me sick, you know? but then we do have the adverse and the other one. So today, the title of the message is Wilderness Attitude Number One is Complaining or Murmuring, okay? Anybody complain here? Man, I'm probably the world's worst complainer. So for the next couple of weeks, for the next, huh? Amen. Amen. All right, I'm with you there, Allison. Okay, because I complain a lot, and we'll get into that later on. But for the next coming weeks, we're going to go ahead and take a journey through the wilderness of bad attitudes, okay? Of bad attitudes, and one by one, we're gonna empty those babies out, all right? We're gonna empty them out, we're gonna take the bad, we're gonna identify it, right? We're gonna identify that bad attitude, we're gonna empty it out of us, and then we're gonna fill it back up with something good, right? That's right. The fact that the following week, we're gonna put something good back to replace that bad attitude, one that's pleasing to God, for number one, and one that will restore in us the joy and peace of God's promises. That's pretty awesome. That's what I want. And you know what? There is no doubt in my mind that God has me doing this series, because I have essentially a bad attitude. And everybody's quiet, waiting for the next statement. But we'll get into that in just a little bit. The attitude we are going to explore this morning is the attitude of complaining or murmuring. And I have not always been a complainer. But the older I get, I complain about everything. I can remember, you know, complaining even years ago when I was tired. I'd get up and I'd say, you know what, I'm tired. You ever do that? I'm tired. I used to drive tractor trailer years ago, and I'd pull into a rest stop, and I had just slept all day, and I'd pull into a rest stop, and I'd get out, shut my door, I was going to go in and get a cup of coffee, and I said, you know, I'm so tired. And then I stopped for a moment, and I said, no, I'm not. That was an automatic response, right? We automatically respond sometimes and say, I'm this, or I complain about that. It becomes an automatic thing. But really, I complain about everything. I complain about the weather. I complain that it's too hot. I complain that it's too cold. I complain in the springtime when the grass is green and I have to cut it twice a week. And then I complain during August when it's dry and dead and it's not growing at all. I complain about all of you. do you mean I do? Allison, go sit in my office for a while, would you? I do. I complain about everything. And it's all self-centered. Now, last night, if you missed Oasis, it was pretty good last night. I really appreciate Pastor Ron, and he was talking about Jonah and his adventure, you know. And here Jonah is. God told him to go ahead and do something. And at the end of the story, there's this big old leaf that goes and grows over him, you know, and he's getting shaded and everything. And then at the end, God sends a worm, and it causes it to die. And now he's there whining about that old self, you know, his comfort zone. He doesn't have the comfort anymore. So he's all worried about that, self-centered. Meanwhile, there's a city dying and going to hell. And I thought about that, and I said, man, we complain about this stuff that really means nothing, and then it's automatic. It's an automatic complaint. And we've got a city in Uniontown, a county in Fayette County, that's dying and going to hell, but we're worried about complaining, right? We've got a world that's dying and going to hell, but we're worried about our comfort and where we should be. So I think the attitude, I think God is more, you know, all those things, you know, as far as the heat and the cold and the grass and all that stuff. That's one thing. But I think God is more upset at stuff like that, where we are more self-centered and worried about us rather than worried about building his kingdom. Man, we complain. When we complain about our circumstances like Jonah, the circumstances that could be used to grow us up and grow us closer to God, or be used to expand his kingdom. In Jonah's case, that's exactly what it was going to be doing. And in our case, it's exactly what's going to happen. Instead, they cause us to complain, and the kind of attitude can keep us in the wilderness. It can keep us in the wilderness. Family, let me ask you. Does our complaining change anything? No. This morning we were riding here to work. Or to work. May as well be. Let me complain about that a little bit. Never mind. I'm not going to tell you. Because my wife is sitting right there and she'll give me an amen. But anyway, it won't change anything. It can't change anything. So if we all agree that complaining doesn't change anything, then why do we do it? Because complaining, listen, complaining satisfies our sinful nature. It satisfies our sinful nature. Now this is a long sentence. Complaining releases negative emotional energy in a way that provides momentary relief from a situation or circumstance that may be frustrating to us. That's a mouthful, but it's true. It really is. It's a simple thing, but it feels so good right now. That's why we find it hard to resist. But family, those who choose complaining as a lifestyle will spend their lifetime in the wilderness. Now, allow me to set this up for you before we go into Numbers chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. Let me set this up for you, and we will be in the wilderness, because what I have to do is right now, these guys, right, the Israelites are sitting in the wilderness. They're only a few miles away from the promised land. They're all there, but I want to tell you how they got there, okay? We're going to start way back, because I don't know all of you. I know some of you, and I know some of you know the story, but I want to put it all together for you. Number one, God created the heaven and earth, right? And he made man and woman. Who was it? Adam and Eve. Okay, Adam and Eve had some kids, right? They were unruly. After the fall of man, they sinned and they were bad. They were bad people. So they got so bad that God found Noah. Noah was a righteous man, right? And he says, Noah, build me an ark because I'm going to destroy all these unrighteous people. So that's what he did. He sent an ark. And he built an ark and he saved just Noah's family. Then they started all over again. And they got the same way again. They got to be an evil people, all right? Then God says, you know what? I'm going to separate from me a family. From all this bad stuff, I'm going to separate. Because what I did before, I destroyed them before, and it didn't work. Because now they're bad again, and here I am. So he sees Abraham. Abraham has a son, Isaac. Isaac has two sons, Jacob and who? Esau. Okay? Esau's first, Jacob. All right? So he had those two sons. Jacob then became his name. God changed it to Israel. That's where we get the name Israel, the nation of Israel. That's where it comes from, Jacob. Jacob's name was changed. All right, so from that point, okay, Jacob or Israel has 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, right? You got all that. So far, you're with me. All right, so Joseph and his 12 brothers, they're kind of bad. The 10 of them were bad. They sell Joseph into Egypt. And do you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Joseph's life and we went through all that, but I'll just review it just a little bit. He went to Egypt. He became the prime minister. He brought his whole family, the rest of his family, down to live in Egypt. So they lived there about 400 years and then they were enslaved. They became a great nation and God said, I want them out because they were crying to him. So they came out and they went out through the Red Sea and all that stuff that happened behind them and everything. And God went before them in a pillar of cloud and by day and a pillar of fire by night. And then they got into the wilderness. They were in the wilderness about 180 days. And now they are going to step into the promised land. And that's where they are. They are in the wilderness like right now. So let's go to Numbers chapter 11, 1 through 3. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we just ask, Father, that you would change our hearts. Change our attitudes, Father. We give it up to you. We're going to give you this bad attitude of complaining today, and we're going to work on it all week, and we are going to give it to you so that you can replace it with something good. Father, we trust you. We love you. We want to have the kind of life that you have for us. We want to be able to go into the promised land, to have that peace and that joy that only you can give, Father. And then, if we don't, we know that we're going to have to wander in the wilderness for a few more years. Father, we love you and we thank you very much, God. Thank you for your son, Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, no matter what it was that they were complaining about, because it really doesn't matter, and God sent fire down to consume them, right? It really doesn't matter what they were we'll go to that later on. Now, if that doesn't tell you how God feels about complaining, nothing will, does it? He sent fire down and he consumed them. Some of them, not all of them. But then it's going to tell you a little bit more because he consumes a whole generation in the wilderness. So does God like us to complain? No, it's not pretty obvious, is it? He doesn't want us to. All right, and some of you are thinking now, okay, that was then, this is now. Now I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So we need to establish all this right off the bat so that we know where we're going with it right off the bat, right? Okay, chapter 10, we're going to begin in verse 11, or verse 1, I'm sorry. verse 1 of chapter 10 in 1 Corinthians. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was
Christ.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overtaken in the wilderness. Now, these things were our," what? "Examples." Whose examples are they? They're our examples, right? They're not their examples from years ago. They're our examples today, 2012, in August, right here. "Now, these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to drink, or to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents." Now, neither what? "Murmur, neither complain you, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the earth are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of an escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Now, why did all this happen to the Israelites? Why were they in the wilderness? For us today. So that we can take a look at it. Family, remember, what happened then to the Israelites was intended by Almighty God, an unchanging God, as an example for us. Now, let's go back to our text in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, and it says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." Now, it says, "And when the people." Now, I want you to know that we choose our attitudes. We choose our attitudes. We can't blame anyone else. Can you blame anybody for your attitude? Because I know we do. We do. We blame our boss because of our poor attitude at work. We blame the pastor for whatever. We blame whatever, whatever, for whatever. We blame mom because she raised me this way. We blame dad because he was never home. That is not a good reason.
That's right.
We choose our attitude. We choose it. The person you blame is the person that you see in the mirror. Why did the people complain? Because they chose to. No one made them complain. The thing about attitudes, they happen over a long period of time. Now, I told you that I used to complain a little bit when I was younger. But now that I'm getting older, I complain an awful lot more, and it becomes automatic. It's not something that takes, I mean, you just don't turn on a bad attitude just like that. It happens over a period of time. The Israelites didn't just start complaining when they got to the wilderness. They complained for a long, long time, back when they were making their bricks. You remember the Israelites, when they were back in Egypt? They complained that they were in slavery. They complained that the work was too hard. They complained that they couldn't make bricks. They complained about everything. So when they were in Egypt, they complained, and it carried right into the wilderness. They complained for a very long time. And then complaining becomes automatic. We complain without even thinking about it. I know I do. I catch myself complaining without thinking about it all the time. And we can choose a bad attitude, or we can also choose to have the right attitude. Anybody in here want to have a right attitude? Amen. All over. Some of you said no. Okay. It will take some time, but we can do it through God. If we remain sensitive to what God is teaching us. Because lasting joy and true promised land living are not far away as you might think. That's how much, you know, these guys are in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness and they're right next to, they're ready to step into the promised land, a land full of milk and honey. A whole generation died in the wilderness just a few miles from the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And why did they die? Let me just set this up for you, okay? They're in the wilderness. They get over there. They're right next to it. And Moses goes to all 12 tribes and he says, give me a man because I'm going to send him in and I'm going to have them check out things. So he gets these 12 spies. He sends them into the promised land. And then they come back. And guess what happens? 10 of them out of the 12 say, no way am I going in there. They brought grapes back. And this astonishes me. I can't even imagine. When I go to a store and I pick a bunch of grapes, they're like this. I can hold them in the hand like this. When they picked a bunch of grapes, it says in the Bible that it took two men to carry them. So they had this plank that went on their shoulders, I can imagine. Maybe two of them like this, you know, and one on the other shoulders. And they had a bunch of grapes, just one bunch of grapes sitting there. That's how big those were. Can you imagine? Whew. Must have been nice. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, hey, we're ready. Let's go in. Let's take it. Let's get it. It's what God promised. It's a land full of milk and honey. Man, we want it. I want it. Let's go. God's with us now. Let's go in. God will take it. They trusted him. The 10 did not trust him. Guess what they said? Look at 13:33. After all this discussion and everything like that, it says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sights. They're saying, you know what? They never even gave God a thought. They never even said, you know what? It doesn't matter how big they are. So it's just like what we're going through right now. Anybody going through a trial that's pretty big, pretty bad, can God handle it? Absolutely. You got to trust that God can handle it. He's bigger than our problem. He will always be bigger than our problem. And what we have to do is we have to stop complaining about our problem. And you know why? Because he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear our complaints. He wants to hear that we trust him, that we love him enough and trust him enough that he will do for us the right thing to build his honor and his kingdom. Not that make your life maybe easier. Oh God, make my life easier. You know what? I complained last night, yesterday. I said, God, I'm putting this message together and you are not making this easy. You need to make this easy. You need to put it down on paper. You need to do this. And then I said, holy cow, this is why he's wanting me to do this, because I'm a complainer. All I need to do is say, God, it doesn't make any difference what I have on that paper, because you know what? I can't do that. But you can. Amen. You can come before me. You can prepare their hearts. And no matter what I say, you are not going to hear what he doesn't want you to hear. He's going to allow you to hear what he wants you to hear. Period. And I have to trust that. And I have to trust him. But anyway, so they're scared and everything. So look at Numbers 14, beginning in verse 1. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we have died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our, now listen to this, that our wives and our children should be a prey, where were it not better for us to remain in Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. So they're saying, you know what, God? It would be a whole lot better if you'd have just left me back in Egypt as a slave. At least my women and my children wouldn't be slaughtered. So let's go down to verse 22 of that same chapter. This is good stuff. It says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, what he's talking about is these guys, this whole nation has seen God at work the whole time. They saw his miracles. They know what God is capable of, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and I have tempted me now these 10 times, which are the 10 spies. He tempted them 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. That's some tough stuff, guys. That's what God feels about complaining. That's how God feels about complaining. He says, you know what? You generation, you're not going to see the promised land, period. You're going to stay for the next 40 years until you die. Let's read on. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelled in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which, what? Murmur against me. Complain against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. Your what? Carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make your dwelling therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, and remember, they were worried about their little ones, right? They were all worried about their, oh, my little ones are going to get killed in here. It says, but your little ones, which ye said shall be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that all gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. That's what God feels about complaining. So what do you choose this morning? What is your choice? Do you want the joy of the promised land? Or do you want the wilderness living? You know, it's your choice. Family. We have to look at the signs of complaining in our lives. I want you to this week choose to have the right attitude about your circumstances, about the people in your life, about what God is trying to do in your life. This week, as we leave this place, I want you to be aware of your attitude. Make the necessary changes. Empty your old attitude out. Then when you come back next week, and you've got to come back this next week, okay? Because you want to fill it up. You want to take that empty vessel and you want to fill it back up with something good. Remember what Matthew 12 said about Jesus. He just took demons out of a person and he was all clean, right? And it was well swept and the demons left and he couldn't find any place to go. And then he said, hey, you know what? I'm going to go check out the guy that I was emptied out. And he went and it was all garnished and it was all swept. And he said, hey, this is a cool place to dwell. So he went out and got 7 more demons that were worse than he was. And he said, come on, guys, I've got a good place to live. So let's go back into this guy. So he went back into this guy and they were worse than he was to begin with. Go check it out. It's in Matthew 12, 43 and 45. So when you empty yourself out from this bad attitude, you're going to need to fill it up right away. So we need to fill it up next week, next Sunday. Come back. So family, ask yourself some questions this week. Am I a complainer? Am I reaping the consequences of complaining in my relationship with God? And am I willing to repent? Like Jonah repented. Now, we're going to have a little different invitation this morning. I want you to do a couple of different things. I want you to stand with me for number one. Pastor Ron, if you could come up. And we're going to play some music. But I've got a request. What I want you to do is I want you to empty yourself out, and I want you to empty yourself out of any selfish complaints or anything like that. And we have a sheet here. And this sheet, can you help me out with it, Pastor Ron? Let's go down here. This sheet represents the county fair when a couple of the churches went out and they had people put prayer requests on this sheet. Okay? This is Fayette County speaking right here. There's a lot of addiction, a lot of homeless. There's a lot of people that don't have food to eat. There's a lot of people that are being physically and mentally abused. There is an awful lot going on here in Fayette County. There's a lot of drug addiction, alcohol addiction, addiction. And what I'd like you to do is, if you can move over, Pastor Ron, you know, we have an obligation as the church to pray for these people because they asked us to. And they wrote it down and they said, you know what? I need your prayers. I covet your prayers. You are the church. You are the ones who have to lift me up. We're going to pass this around to several churches, and then when the pastors come together in the beginning of September, we're going to come back here, and the pastors are going to pray over this. And I'm not telling you to pray over the blanket. I'm asking you to pray for these people. The people of Fayette County. And I want you to pray for yourselves and say, God, give me an attitude, a good attitude, one that will replace this bad, complaining attitude that I have. I complain about everything. I complain about this. I complain about that. Take that from me, God, and then fill me up with something good. So I'm going to open the altar up, and I ask those of you who would like to just come down, and you could read this and just pray over whatever you read. You could pray over the whole town. You could pray over the whole county. You could pray for yourself. You can bring somebody down and say, please, God, change my attitude. Let's build his kingdom. We're here for him. So let's come. Come.
Join the song, lift your voice, the
As heaven and earth give praise. Fall to your knees at the feet of the Son of the one true God. Turn from old ways, lift your eyes, for the kingdom of God is here. Open your heart, offer all. Jesus Christ is here now. We have found our home. We have found our peace. We have found our rest. Hear the one.
City and in our county, Father, they have addictions. They're abused. They don't have food. They are naked. God, we pray for them. And then we also have to be the hands to help them. God, may you send somebody to us that we can help, that we can truly help. God, we love you so much, and we just pray all of this in Jesus' name. We lift him up. Amen.
You know, God works in mysterious ways, and today in my daily reading, I'm in the part of the Bible that says God speaking and saying, you know, I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your offerings. I want to have a relationship with you. Everybody on this sheet, everybody in here, he wants to have a relationship with you. And when you do that, you have to come with a humble heart. And that's part of the attitude. Not a debating heart, but a humble heart. He'll tell you what's right. He'll tell you what's wrong. And he will always be with you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for the message this morning. Be with each and every one of us. Help us work on our attitudes. Help us to come before you with a humble heart, not a complaining heart. To seek you, to keep our focus on you, to get closer, to see what it is, not what we want, but what it is that you want. And help us, no matter what we're going through, to be grateful, to be thankful, and to just seek to be closer to you.
and it's all for your honor, and it's all for your glory. And we just ask that you go before us and fight those battles. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
With you. See you back Wednesday. Have a great day.